tuned in to For the Culture Radio.
Good afternoon. It's your host, Mr. Ace Wallace, a.k.a. The Corporate Thug, and you are now tuned in to For the Culture Radio. And listen, we're so glad to have you. It's been such a tumultuous time in the world. It's been a lot of deaths, a lot of things going on. And it's just, we got so many fallen soldiers. My boy Young Dolph yesterday just passed. My boy Boris Preachley's passed. Near and dear friend to me. And I don't know, I was just kind of going through it and I felt like I needed to find a solution, you know. So I reached out and our guest that we have today is somebody very special. And I think that our conversation today will be long appreciated. You know, oftentimes I feel as though the solution to the general problem that we have in terms of deaths and all of this erratic behavior is really the bridge of the gap. You know, I feel as though bringing together our elders and our youth is what will create the fix. Like, I really don't feel like there's much of a difference. I just think that there's a misunderstanding. And I think our conversation today will open a few eyes. So without further ado.
All right, man. Ace, thank you for having me. Full name, Samuel Nicholson. Known as AKA Teddy.
Teddy.
30-year veteran of the Illinois Department of Corrections, Illinois Department of Juvenile Justice. So my history expands all sides, both sides of incarceration, law enforcement in general. I've always had an open mind, and I agree with you wholeheartedly that the gap is closer than we think. One of my sayings, and I often remind my lovely wife, is that the day that we as seniors, I'm 60 years old, the day that we can't learn from a younger person or anybody for that matter, is the day we need to kind of give it up, hang it up. Because you're going to learn something every day. If it's lingo in the streets, if it's a dress code, if it's the new technology, you have to be open-minded. So one of my platforms when I worked primarily with juveniles was to always make them feel like they had a voice. Mm-hmm. Always make them feel like Mr. Nicholson's ear was open for me. And that's something I'm going to take to my grave. You know, my relatives, in-laws, my church family, this is what I preach. Mm. No matter who it is, this is what I preach. And I'm going to hear you. I'm going to offer something to you. And if you say, I don't think that's the way, I'm going to say, well, what do you think is the way? And your way might be better.
Mm. But you're receptive.
I'm extremely receptive.
I think you touched on something that's so important that a lot of people don't understand. And I was talking with a friend about this before. Having that receptive ear, that listening ear, being available to listen and not just talking at someone is so important for the youth of today. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of the times people don't realize how important and how impactful just that one little thing is, just that one act. And it's not saying that you're giving them anything. It's not saying that you're subsiding to your views, but you're taking the time out to give that form of respect that, hey, your opinion is valuable. It may not be correct.
It may not.
But it is valuable. And I think that that's something that we need to, you know, give some flowers to you, because I think that a lot of people don't understand the penal system and the correction system. I'll go on record and be completely honest, because it is public record. I have been to Cook County Jail. I've spent some months there. And I know the culture. I understand how important the correctional officers are. If the correctional officer that's on your deck is, let's be frank, a complete asshole, mm-hmm. then your time may feel a little harder. Mm-hmm. You may be a little more hostile that can create an environment for you that can wear on you and take years off your life potentially because of the state that you're in. Because this is all you see just looking through this meek window. So I think that for you to realize kind of your importance and your pivotal position in these people's lives, it means something.
It's big, man. And my dad, rest in peace, he instilled this into me. Don't be judgmental. You know, a young man walks by you and you know, maybe smell of, you know, reeks of alcohol, maybe marijuana, maybe you don't approve the way he dressed. Talk to that man. You know, how you doing, son? How you doing, young man? I'm Mr. No. And my experience with that is, it's always, sir. I've never been that, well, work in jail, you know, right. You get what you get. But right. On the street, how's it going, young man? Hey, sir. So, we know part of the culture where I worked half of my life and that you briefed on. It's true, too. You give respect, you get it. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, you're dealing with men. And I can't judge you because I could never know your story.
Right.
And that's what I've adapted, and that's what I live by that code.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my code. It's not fake. It's not phony. It's not kissing ass.
Yeah.
It's not trying to make friends. I've lived my life, you know, my better years are behind me.
Yeah.
So where I'm at today is from my heart and my experience with people.
Hmm. So working in that environment so long, and you don't have to just stick on that one
right,
part of your
exactly.
life, but I do want to kind of inquire, did you ever come across any like special individuals that will kind of, the stories will just forever stick with you? Are there any, you know, people that you feel like you inspired or that inspired you or,
I it's funny. We talked about this a day or two ago at church. A lot of the officers or COs didn't want to deal with the quote unquote troubled kid. I know I worked juvenile most of my career.
Hmm.
Those were the kids that I focused on.
Hmm.
Son, come here. This is what I need for you.
Right.
If you're not going to do it for yourself, I know you're not going to do it for him or her. This is what I need. Tomorrow, just something as simple as making your bed. A lot of kids never had a bed. So how can you expect them to make the bed to a trained officer who has military experience? No. Show me that you tried, and we build on that. That was one quick story. Kept this kid under my wings. Gave him little jobs that nobody else did around the facility. The kid got his GED. Kid got out, and became very instrumental in society, held jobs and family, and he would reach back and thank me. There are many, Ace, that, you know, I don't even know if we have enough time. Another short story that I know I did, I started the first incarcerated youth baseball team that was allowed not to play facility, that was allowed to go out in a public park.
Wow.
Franklin Park, Douglas Park, Al South, Tule Park, all these parks, and play without handcuffs, without shackles, without waist, you know, restraints.
Exactly.
And they behaved, and so you're talking Latin Kings, GDs, BDs, Foles, Vice Lords. At the end of that, it started off rough, but at the end of that, they left it behind. And the focus was on that field. You are my teammate. I might be playing against one of my own right now,
right.
But this is our journey right now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's stories with the family. You know, it taught me to give a kid a chance. And it's the same thing with an adult. We all are kids inside, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hear him. Hear his family. Learn him, but don't judge him.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I love the moral statute that you have from the time that you've spent doing that job, and I feel like it's built an integrity in you that You know, it just can't be missed. You know, sometimes people don't understand the root of a man or woman is their integrity. You know, what do you do when no one is watching? Because we all kind of have a face that we put on, regardless of how, you know, blessed you are, how happy you may seemingly be. We all have a face. I personally feel this is my opinion. So that integrity that you've learned and you've garnered over time, keyword learned, the wisdom that you've gained is something that is important to focus on and understand. But man, I appreciate your contribution to society in terms of being a correctional officer and having someone with your mindset, because it's important for us to, and I keep saying these repeat words, and people may feel as though afterwards they listen to this may be like, man, he keeps using the words important. He keeps I'm using those intentionally because I want it to be reiterative in people's minds that don't experience this, has never been there. Like, if you got a brother there, somebody that you really feel got your back and is not trying to be maliceful, then your time is a lot better, and it gives you peace just to say, hey, it's for somebody in there to call you sir, for you to be treated as a man, for someone to give you simple respect, for you to walk past and say, hey, man, listen, hey, time to come out. Hey, listen, you know what? I got to, can you give me 2 minutes? Let me brush my teeth. No, fuck that. You out now. Instead of, go ahead, brother. Yeah, no problem. Take it.
I started this job in 1985. I was born on the west side of Chicago. We moved out south to Roseland. I ended up back on the west side of Chicago. So I grew up in the area, right? So when it got out, this is what I did. So I had to go against that. You oppressing the people, man. You part of the system that's keeping us down. And what you just alluded to, and we're talking juveniles, they needed me. You know, I can't sit back and say, oh, man, I can't work in there because it's a disaster and they don't treat us right. Step up. Do something. Volunteer. Maybe you don't qualify to get hired, but volunteer. Volunteer to go in there and have some groups with them. Take them to the gym. Do the podcast. Read with them. Pray with them. Talk family issues with them. Give them hope. And I found myself doing some of the things. I don't have enough time to say. But I don't. My wife would tell you, I don't like talking about myself. But
you find yourself being a father. You know, I think that when I just listened to everything you said, that's what you just alluded to. Like, what every black, brown child, any child, regardless of color, who is lacking of a father, who didn't understand what fathers were, they could have just listened to what you just said. That's exactly what a father is. And sometimes you have to be reminded of exactly the regular things that you're doing, of the things that are extraordinary that seemingly are regular to you. You know,
that's right.
That's something that you have to reciprocate, like, all the time, because we don't realize it, but it's so powerful, man. So thank you for that. So let's jump to something else, man.
No problem.
Let's figure out what made you that man. Let's go all the way back. Let's go all the way back.
All the way back. I was born August 8th, 1962. Like most blacks in that era, our families migrated from the South, and we had nothing. But up north, the Chicagos, the Detroit Motor City, we the factories, Gary, Indiana was flourishing then. It was a better way for us. Church was it wasn't an option in the family. Okay. And we struggled. You know, we didn't have the social media. You know, everything wasn't at your fingertip. You had to go out there and grind and hustle.
Now, when you're saying not an option in the family, you're saying like church was mandatory.
Oh yes, mandatory.
Okay.
You know, dad worked. Dad drove a truck. Mom later worked in a factory. She was the home mom with the kids. And I watched my dad. My oldest brother played on professional baseball with the Cincinnati Reds.
Oh, wow.
I watched my dad work. I watch him come home and say, did the kids eat when he hasn't eaten? Mom would tell her, well, Sam, his name is Sam, too. Mm. Well, I put your plate. No, did the kids eat? So, you know, when he was doing the coaching and dad was doing, you know, dad was being dad. He'd drink a beer and go out with his buddies. Mm-hmm. But he always came home and he always made sure we take care of.
Mm-hmm.
That molded me. Sports became instrumental in my life. You know, it taught me some things. You know, camaraderie, how to respect your brother when he's down. You know, everybody can't score 30. Everybody can't be 6'6", and you know, but we can be a team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can have fun. We can lift each other. So with that, I kind of implemented those trainings and teachings to corrections. I feel I can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And man, with that, again, I did state audits. I wrote state policies. I changed a lot. I got credentials to prove it. I got people we can call that'll prove it. And it's not about me. You know, I as I stated earlier, I lived my life. I have a lovely family, lovely daughter, and I'm good.
Right.
I'm good, bro. So that brought me to the place I am today.
Yeah. So back being raised in that era, I guess, you know, oftentimes, you know, we hear about the civil rights movement. You know, we hear about the great migrations and things. But I want to know about, like, did you spend your childhood in Chicago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Born and raised.
Oh, born and raised. Okay. So it's funny to me how the music has changed. I personally feel like your era of time was the best for music. It's some of my most favorite music. And I just want to talk about the music of your era.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about what music has inspired you? Would love to hear.
Coming up in the Nicholson household and attending church like we did, harmony groups, harmony was important. I mean, if you had the talent to sing, you pretty much, okay, you made it. But can you get others to blend with? Can you do something with a choir where probably 20, I won't say couldn't sing, but they weren't up to your level of singing. So in my house, it was Smokey. It was the Temptations. Before that, doo-wop. I don't know how familiar you are, the Moonglows and things.
Doo-wop.
That was my daddy. And if you look at their suits, if you ever get a chance, you're going to see the tight fitted pants, the tight tape. Tapered jackets that they wore, but they wore process. They wore hair, and a lot of that was because blacks weren't allowed to be on album covers if they looked a certain way.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. If you look at all those old album covers, everybody hair was processed, they called it.
Perm, yeah, you're right.
Perm process. So, but that was my music. And to this day, my wife would tell you, this is my music. She'll put on what I want to hear.
Right.
And
so what's like you? So who's your favorite artist?
Individual artist or group?
I'm sorry, I forgot what I was talking about. The 70s. I mean that time and era is the groups. And okay, let's ask for the group first.
I'm starting back with the Temptations. And
okay,
you're familiar with some of that music. That music has been around and it won't go away. Dramatics. From Detroit, you know.
Okay.
That type of music. But don't get me wrong, to have an individual talent,
yeah,
where you can perform at a level where a lot can't, or they haven't found that person that can sell the records like you, the stage appearance, the everything. I have some individual guys. Back to old Luther Vandross. He was a crooner, they call it, right?
Yeah.
He would.
I like Luther.
He was saying
Big Luther or Little Luther?
The Big Luther.
Big Luther.
We're not going to get into that. Yeah,
no disrespect.
Right, the Big Luther.
No disrespect to Luther. I just, you know.
Yeah, but yeah, and then we we kind of keep up. We do. You know, our lovely daughter keeps us in the breast of a lot of the hip-hop scene. And okay. My wife, she's a big Pop Smoke fan, or was. Rest okay. in peace, Pop. The Dirt.
Okay.
And some of the, we listen to some of the drill. I mean, we, you know, we just listen.
Right. I feel you. And, just listen. You know, the beat. You ain't doing no drilling.
No, we're not doing it. But we might be in there, you know.
Yeah, just vibing to the beat. You know what I mean? Hey, you know, I like that, though.
We're not doing the drilling.
Yeah. I like that, though. You know, y'all in tone, and, you know, that's trustworthy. Sometimes people don't realize how it's nice to have cool parents and, you know, uncles and aunts that you can kind of vibe with. And it makes the situation easier for you to, you know, talk sometimes. It makes the situation easier for you to trust.
Extremely.
And I think it's, you know, people don't look at sometimes their fathers or their mothers as necessarily their best friend, per se, but when they look back and they get older, they're like, man, they were a real friend to me. Yeah, they were a parent to me, but at the end of it all, they were really my best friend that I've had, because your parents gonna usually have your best interest at heart. And that's really what you want from a friend.
And that's important, Ace, because 99% of the time, what you share with your friend, let me rephrase that. When you share things with your friends, your close friends, their chances is going to leak out.
Hmm.
Or we all say, that's my ride or die.
Right.
No, we saw, we all, no, that's my, okay. But when you share it with your parents, the odds of that getting out to where it don't supposed to be, that's going to be a family moment. The emotion's going to be poured out,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be now. So, you know, I said that there's a level of, I don't want to say secrecy, but there's a level of trust that has to be not empowered, but it has to be instilled in the family.
Mm.
Everything is not just to be
broadcast.
Good, bad. I mean, if you're doing some good, it ain't everybody's business.
Right.
If I'm making sense. Yeah. I mean, we can spread the word and we can uplift and outreach to try to help.
Yeah.
But the devil is working.
All the time.
All the time. And we have to be smart. We have to be smart, and you got to trust somebody. I get it. But we got to be smart. So, yeah, that was my music thing. And I listen to it now. I'm getting back into the gospel realm of music. That genre music is in me.
Okay.
And, but I love music.
So you say you play the keys. I heard.
I play the keys.
Oh, that's
don't make me a dinosaur.
Hey, I'm just, hey, man, listen. I just want, I'm stand to be corrected. You play the keys.
Yes, sir.
So, listen, we want to hear a piece from you soon, then, you know.
Okay.
So, a studio right next door being facilitated soon, you know. So, we'll be welcoming you in, you know what I mean? So, what on the keys? Okay, so. First of all, I knew you was a player for real when you said the keys. For you all that don't know, I'm really heavy into music. Like, music is a large part of my life. But I don't play an instrument. But I've worked in management. I've worked in studio management. I've worked in building out, you know, studios and facilities, road managing, all in different effects, but I really have a deep appreciation for music, and I know musicians when I see them, and I speak the language. So when someone says that they play the keys
as opposed to the piano,
that's different. That's just like somebody saying I play the guitar versus somebody say I play bass. And look at you, any bass player I've ever met has never told me
they
play the guitar.
No, they never will.
Just like a surgeon will never tell you that he's a doctor or she's a doctor. A surgeon will never say they're a doctor. A surgeon is going to say, I'm a surgeon.
Yeah. that's true.
So, yeah. I look forward to hearing some keys very soon, and I'm going to hold you to that. I'm going to be real about that.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Just to let you know. You know what I'm saying? So, can't wait to hear you. Do you have any albums out or anything that we can go pick up or from the past?
No albums.
No albums.
Well, CDs. We have some CDs.
Okay. You got some CDs?
We got to dig them out.
Okay. And, well, you know what? I mean, hey.
I can let you hear it today.
Yeah?
Yeah, we'll do that.
For sure, man. Well, listen, when I get a chance to hear it, guys, I'm going to vet through it. You know what I mean? And take my own personal account, you know? And then maybe we can invite you back and maybe we can do something live, man, because I think that's interesting. Maybe we can.
I would love for you to talk to even some of the guys, man. A lot of Ronnie G, he's all over the city. Maybe one of your shows will be dictated. Not dictated, but.
No, I'm with it. I'm with it. Shout out to Ronnie G. Let's get you on, Ronnie. Man. See what's going on. But yeah, man, so I just wanted to, like I said, tune you all in to somebody that I thought would be instrumental to the culture. And we keep these brief, man. We try to, you know, give them a little shot, you know, keep them in tune. And then we potentially may do a series with you if we just want to bring you back, you know. And I feel like we are a few times. Okay. You know. So I appreciate you, man.
It's been a pleasure.
And I just want to let you know that we got to give you flowers while you're here.
Appreciate
so,
you, bro.
So, as a black man, I appreciate you. And introduce your lovely wife as well that you have with you.
I'm not too hard to find, right?
No, you're not. You're not. We're not going to disclose too much.
We're not going to disclose, right? That's
sad. Y'all just know we living on cloud nine around here.
Real quick. This beautiful lady sitting to my left. I've been knowing since, well, I already aged myself. I've been knowing since our early 20s.
Wow.
And here we are today, and we have a love story. Mm. My name is Samuel Nicholson. You can go on Facebook and pull it up and read it. So here she is. And
go ahead and introduce yourself.
Thank you so very much. My name is Irena, mm-hmm. Irena Nicholson. And people call me Rainy. And I just want to say one thing here. What I love about my husband most is that he's a humanitarian. Mm. He loves to give to the least of thee. And it's never a time when he doesn't notice someone in need. We'll dine at the finest restaurants. But if we decide to go to White Castle, he tips the person that takes the order just the way that he would at Ruth Chris. That means so much to me when we're driving. He noticed the people that's under the viaduct. Mm. So that means the world to me, and that's why I love him. He is a giver, and that's important to me.
Well, thank you for that. I hope my wife thinks about me like said some real special stuff like that about me once I get to that place. You know, well, yeah.
It's coming.
Yeah. You know. Hey, it ain't. I'm not in no rush.
Hey,
I
mean?
Anytime.
But yeah, this has been For the Culture. And thank you for listening. It's your host, Mr. Ace Wallace, a.k.a. The Corporate Thug. We're going to get on up out of here. And y'all stay safe. Stay dangerous at the same damn time. Shout out to Nipsey Hussle.
You are now tuned in to For the Culture Radio. You are now tuned in to For the Culture Radio. You are now tuned in to For the Culture Radio.